If you had to go on a 12-hour bus ride to your next game, which five teammates are you taking on the bus and why?
And my honorable mention will be Marquise Daniels. I got to have my boy.
My honorable mention is BD.
BD.
Because you already know what he's bringing. That motherfucker's going to be a character the entire 12 hours.
Entertaining.
If you want him to entertain for the 12 hours, he will. But I want to get a little bit of sleep. That's why he's honorable mention. Welcome back to another edition of What's Burning. Let's get right to it with the week ahead. Jack, we got Nets and Sixers this Wednesday, top two teams in the East. Nets have the second best half-court offense in the league. 76ers have the second best half-court defense in the league. Is this a preview of the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, both teams are finally getting healthy. Everybody's starting to get guys back. And B starting to get in the floor of things. But this is going to be a good matchup to see how can they get ready for Embiid coming in the playoffs. Because they will match up. Embiid has been a problem all year. We know what the dynamics and the problems that Brooklyn bring. But Embiid is going to be a problem for them not having that big man. And I can't wait to see how this game plays out.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember last week, a shorthanded Lakers led with Andre Drummond, I think surprised the Nets. And to me, it wasn't that big of a deal of a loss, but it just showed that there's not much in the middle. Granted, I don't think DeAndre Jordan played that game, but you know he was little boy and LaMarcus Aldridge all night, putting his hand down to the ground and doing all that kind of shit. So definitely if Philly is going to surpass the Nets to go to the finals, it's going to be because of Embiid. So this could definitely be a preview. I'm excited to see this game. Next up, we have the Celtics and the Lakers. Obviously, historical rivalry. You know, the Lakers are on a little bit of a skid. Beat Nets last week. I think LeBron is a few weeks from being back. I think AD is about a week from being back. Celtics are starting to pick it up in the seventh spot in the Eastern Conference. What do you think about this matchup?
Ah, man, them Boston young boys, they rolling right now. They playing well. Both, they're starting to pick it up, not just their stars, but as a whole team. Everybody's starting to play their role. You know, guys, they're really starting to pick it up. So it's going to be an interesting game. I just see them getting ready for the playoffs. Obviously, the Lakers are beat up. You know, they still need their guys back. But the way the Boston is playing, I see Boston coming out with the victory right now because they're looking at the playoffs. They can see it in clear view.
Yeah, this was my one team come second half that I really thought would pick it up. Obviously, it didn't start off right away, but they are 5-1 in April. And like you said, not only are the stars finding their rhythm, but the team is finding their rhythm. And I think that's going to be important for this team moving forward. But these games are dangerous. These are the kind of games where you don't see LeBron, you don't see AD, so you might not come in with the right mindset. But then again, you did point out these guys are gearing up for the playoffs, and they know every game counts. So I think I got the Celtics in this one too. Continuing the week ahead, we have the Clippers versus the Sixers on Friday. Kawhi and PG versus Embiid and Simmons. Clippers won the first battle without Embiid, but Tobias Harris had a very nice game, 29-9-9. Jack, I think we both feel these teams can make a long run in the playoffs. What do you think about this matchup?
That's a good matchup. I just think, you know, Embiid's just been a force this year. You know, he's been dominant. Every team has been trying to figure out how can they stop him or make adjustments to stop him, and they can't do it. And I don't see the Clippers having the answer. Yes, they added Boogie, but Boogie hasn't played. He has to get in shape, and he has to get acclimated with that team, and that's not easy as people think. He is a pro. He is a dominant force. He's something they can use. But Embiid's been dominant all year. Like you said earlier, he's having the MVP year. So I can see both of these teams making a run, but I just see in this game Embiid being a little bit too much for him.
Yeah, obviously excited that Boogie got another run with the Clips. And this is the matchup I wish we could have got 3 years ago, maybe, before Boogie right. started getting all these injury problems. Because to me, Boogie was the number one center in the game before he went down. And Embiid, a lot of people had Embiid as the number one center. So I wish, you know, this matchup is a few years too late. But I definitely think Boogie will help. He has to get his feet under him. I also like the, you know, the master teaching the student type situation with Doc and T. Lou. Obviously, you know, T. Lou is, you know, mentored by Doc, and Doc helped him get his first job. Now both these guys have their new teams playing really well. So this is going to be a fun matchup. And, you know, as we mentioned, the playoffs are all about who's hot at the right time. I could see it's not crazy to think either one of these teams could make the finals.
Right.
Rounding out the week, we have the Jazz versus the Lakers on Saturday. Jazz still have the best record in the league, but are only 16 and 11 on the road, 24 and 2 at home, dominant. We saw a shorthanded Lakers team go in there and steal one from the Nets. What do you think about this Jazz Laker matchup?
I just told you I've never been sold on Utah. I love Donovan Mitchell. He's one of my favorite players in the league. And I know what the dynamic of playing in Utah, how hard it is to win there. So they always have good home records. But to be a great team, to be a great playoff team, to be a championship team, you have to win on the road. And they struggle at doing that. And that's always been the knock on Utah. Yeah, they're good at home, but they're not good on the road. And even with Jordan Clarkson playing well, you know, I just don't see this team going far. And I see these Lakers beating them again.
What's weird to me is having, you know, a bad road record, but there's really no reason to. You know, there's no crowds. Right. There's not the normal shit you have to, you know, look forward to while you're on the road. So it's kind of weird to me. But I agree. You know, this is a team that kind of has to prove it still. Obviously, they've been playing great during the regular season. We're still in the regular season. But, you know, the playoffs are right around the corner. Can this team do it in the playoffs? So, you know, this is going to be a fun matchup. Underhanded, you know, obviously shorthanded Laker team. I'm going to take Utah in this game. But I'm not sold on them in the playoffs. I'm going to have to see it. Ending the week, we have the Celtics and the Warriors. Celtics currently in the 7th spot. Warriors currently in the 10th spot. Warriors suffered a big blow. Wiseman tore his meniscus, most likely out for the season. Jack, do you see either one of these teams rising as we stand? They're both in the playoff play-in situation on both sides of their conferences.
Yeah, I love both teams. I love what Steph has been able to do all season, even with the new injuries. He's been leading that team and keeping their playoff hopes high. But I just, you know, they don't, especially with the young fella going down, they just don't have enough to say that they're going to make some noise in the playoffs. Yeah, they might get in and they have Stephen Curry, but to win in the playoffs and to go far, I don't see it. I think Boston has a better chance to go farther. They have a healthy team. The stars are starting to turn their corner. You know, they have a complete team. And I think from the experience that they have with having a healthy team, they could go farther in the East. I don't see them coming out, but like I said, who knows what could happen in the 7-game series.
Yeah. You know, I think obviously losing Wiseman is a big hit. Like I said, I don't even think they really expect to do much this year. You know, as Draymond said a few weeks ago, he's not excited about being in no fucking play-in. Right. I think they're a team, if they make it, they can steal a game or two. But like you said, I just don't think they have enough this season. And again, I think the Celtics are a team that can get hot at the right time. They have a lot of pieces. I feel they need to shore up that middle. But I feel like they have enough pieces to make a run. They're battle tested. They've been to the conference finals a few times now. So I think Boston is a team that can definitely sneak up in the standings and give whoever they're playing in that first round, you know, a run for their money. Hopefully maybe they can get to 6 to get out of that, you know, get away from Brooklyn and Philly. Because outside of that, I think they're right there as a top three team in the East if they're playing how they should be playing. Next up on the radar, presented to you by DraftKings. Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Mavericks, and Blazers are all on pace to be within 4 games of their preseason win total. Jack, we got some over-under here. Over-under Lakers with 48.5 wins this year.
I'm going under. Too many wins they need to complete that, and they have been beat up all season.
Yeah, they got 19 games left. They need to win at least 16 to reach their total, and I just don't see that happening. But again, if this team is healthy – going into the playoffs, to me, they're still the favorites to come out of the West. Next up, the Los Angeles Clippers at 47.5. They're currently sitting on 37 wins with 17 to go. Over under, they reach or surpass that total.
Over. They want to have a good feel going to the playoffs. They're going to mash the gas.
Agreed. I definitely think they're going to get over that. Next up, Denver Nuggets, 44.5. They're currently sitting at 34 wins with 19 games left. Similar situation as the Clippers. Do you see this team hitting it?
Yep, I go over again. These are playoff teams. These are teams that had great seasons last year. They know how to turn it up to get going into the playoffs.
Agreed. I agree they're going to get over that too. Next up, Dallas Mavericks at 43.5. Currently have 29 wins with 20 games left.
Under. They've been just all over the place all year. I just don't know what they're doing. I love watching Luka, but... Nah, they way under.
Yeah, I agree. This has been a very up and down, unpredictable year for the Mavs, but I definitely don't see them reaching that win total. Last but not least, Portland Trailblazers, 40.5. They're currently sitting on 31 wins with 19 to go.
This is a guaranteed over. This is a guaranteed over. They're going. This is one of those teams, too, that find a way to turn around. Guys, this team is starting to get healthy, and they want to make some noise in the playoffs. They will. This is definitely over.
This is a team that's getting healthy at the right time. I definitely agree they're going to win over 40.5 games, but this team's been battle-tested. This is a team no one's really talking about that's really going to give whoever they play in that second round a run for their money. So I'm excited to see a fully healthy Blazers, what they can do. Next up, our favorite segment, fan questions. Here we go, Jack. Richie_2410. What lower seed team can you see making a sneaky run if let loose in the playoffs?
We're talking about Portland. That's always a scary team. They got one of the clutch players in the game. Like you said earlier, Matt, they're starting to get healthy. They're coming together. They got Norman Powell now. I would have to go with Portland.
Agreed. Portland is definitely that team in the West, and in the East is Boston. Like you said, this team has been battle-tested. They've been to the conference finals a few times. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are making known that they're one of the best young duos in the game. So I agree. Portland in the West, Boston in the East.
Next fan question. Ed Ben Work, what was the worst you've ever got crossed up, dunked on, or embarrassed in the game, pro or college?
I think my shit we talked about right when we were in Miami, and I got who hit me with the pump fake, and I tripped over the line and almost fell into the stands.
Marcus Banks.
Marcus Banks is fast ass. That motherfucker was fast. But, yeah, that was probably my – I got lucky, man. I think Chris Bosh kind of got me a little bit, but I didn't really jump. I was lucky to really avoid anything nasty because I would just foul the motherfucker, but I was lucky with that. Oh, well, Kobe got me. My bad. I didn't mean to cut you off. Mm-hmm. The worst I got crossed was the one time when I was guarding Kobe at the top of the key with his jersey in his mouth, and he hit me with the left to right pull-up jumper. He nailed that shit, but we won the game, so fuck it. Rest in peace to my brother, man.
Nobody never made me fall, but AI made me stumble when I was in Golden State trying to guard him. Mm-hmm. And I reached one time at Joe Johnson, and he kind of spun me around. But it happens in the NBA, bro. It happens.
Come on, man. Especially if you're competitive. That's why it's crazy because I don't like anymore that – that's why I think the scores are so high because now it's about being embarrassed and going viral. If you get crossed, you get dunked on, you get whatever this, you get whatever that, you're going to become a meme and motherfuckers have too much pride to really go out there and try. And that's the one thing I don't like because, like I said, if you're competing, you're going to get dunked on and you're going to get crossed. That's just a part of the game.
Yep.
Next up, at Donovan P. If you had to go on a 12-hour bus ride to your next game, which five teammates are you taking on the bus and why?
I'm taking my there's no question with me. I'm taking you, Al, Baron, Monte, and if I had to take another teammate from another team, I would take Gerald Wallace. So me, you, BD, Al, Monte, and Gerald Wallace.
That's a hell of a bus ride. I don't want to repeat all the other people, so I'm just gonna. I'll do a different bus ride. I'll do me, you, C Webb, KD, and DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, and my honorable mention will be Marquise Daniels. I gotta have my vote.
My honorable mention is BD.
BD.
Because you already know what BD. He's bringing. That motherfucker's going to be a character the entire 12 hours. If you want him to entertain for the 12 hours, he will. But I want to get a little bit of sleep. That's why he's honorable mention.
All right. At Pepe_Valens_. Matt Barnes, in retrospect, was the Mo Cheeks incident good for your career? Is it common for NBA coaches with such detrimental attitudes towards their players?
I definitely think it was good for my career because really at that point in my career, I was at a crossroads. I was thinking about going to play football. I was working out for football in the summertime as well. Had some NFL teams already give me a tryout. But in the back of my mind, just that shit kept burning, just his the way he acted and the disrespect he showed towards me. So, I definitely – he was that one figure – that drove me to end up having a 14-year career. So yeah, obviously it's you already know how I feel about him, but it was important. I think it's important to have people like that in your life to cross paths that doubt you or disrespect you to a point where they almost got their ass beat, but he didn't even know. But you know, to kind of light that fire under your, to light that fire under your ass. You know, and I'm sure there's more coaches that are weird like that. I mean, to me, what used to bother, because he used to get dogged out by everyone on that team. I'm not even gonna lie, people used to talk crazy as fuck to him on that team, but I was just too young to. I was just about to fight him. But I think what it was with him was he was still caught up trying to be a player, like thinking he was funny, like he would say shit that he would, and then he was looking for people to laugh. And we're thinking like, you're the coach, you know what I mean? Coach the team, you know, stop trying to be a player. So anyway, to get back to your question, yeah, I definitely think it was important. I appreciate him for that. And man, like I said, I got to make a cool little 14-year run. All right, next up, some next nigga. Where do you consider Manu Ginobili on the all-time shooting guard list? He was an exciting guard in the 2000, but seems like he doesn't get his just due.
One of the creator of the Euro step, he brought that to the game. He's one of my favorite teammates. I think the reason why I respect him, not only the way he played the game and not because how good he was, because of the teammate he was. I remember when we won the Western Conference Finals when I was in San Antonio. I really balled out, really won that game for us, and I really didn't get no credit because I wasn't the player. You know, I wasn't, you know, one of the big names, Steve Kerr, Tim Duncan, but sitting in the back of the locker room, Ginobili, I remember him coming over and telling me, "Bro, you deserved an MVP. You the reason why they won this game." So not only was he great, he was a great teammate and the creator of your stuff. I think he needs to be future Hall of Famer, so he's gonna get his just due.
That's dope. That's definitely dope. Yeah, Manu was a monster. I mean, everyone in the world know what the scouting report was. Don't let him get to his left hand. But it didn't matter what you did, he was going to get to that left hand. And then early on, he would dunk that bitch on you. At the end, he was just nice finishing. But early on, he would back that shit up to half court and come downhill with that screen. And to keep him off that left hand was virtually impossible, man. So I agree. Future Hall of Famer, NBA champ, great teammate. Definitely salute to Manu.
Next fan question. Aaron Leverins. If you could smoke with three people dead or alive, who would it be?
Good question. Pac, Big, and if he smoked, damn, it's a lot of people out there, man. Hold on. I'm going to give you two. Go ahead and you do your three. I want to make sure my last one is just as good as my first two.
Three people I could smoke with: Malcolm X. Marcus Garvey, and I would say for my last one, I would say Tupac.
Yeah, see, I was thinking what civil rights leader I would add to that, but I'm gonna go with my mom, to be honest with you, if I could smoke one more
time.
Oh,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because she didn't smoke all the time, but she'd always smoke on Mother's Day with me. So, yeah, those would be my three, Pac, Big, and moms, if I had one last smoke with three legends in my eyes.
That's yeah, a good I slide question. Moms in there. I slide moms in there, too.
Yeah. Good episode drops. Our brother, Lamar Odom, April 15th. Enjoy this teaser.
So you coming to Joan Cove in L.A., Dr. Buss, Jeannie, Mitch, the
Dr.
family.
Dr. Buss is ill.
Rest in peace. In a good way?
Jeannie pops in an amazing way.
Yeah. So you saw, at the time, the Clippers weren't good.
I wish I would have been around a dude like who had practice habits like Kobe.
Early on?
Word. I've been thinking about all them times pulling up to Southwest, 10 o'clock practice, coming in at 9:30. Like a bump, you know what I mean? Wowing.
But touch on that. Like, see, I'm sure you've seen it right away. You got a chance to play with him. I came and played with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
What it was like just being with him and seeing him.
His whole shit is different. He was trying to be perfect on the court all the time. All the time. Even doing his, like, his little shooting routine or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Even if his footwork. Even if he's getting shots, he's doing it in a certain way where he's just trying to be trying to get better at it. Ain't wasting no time. For real. I mean, he's an incredible dude, man. You know, his work ethic in the morning, man. He was like, he was a thug at 10 in the morning, he was going extra hard. He was straight up banging on breakfast, man.
Straight. He said banging on breakfast.
Yeah, for real. Like, my man.
Constant.
Take it easy.
Up and at it.
There was no such thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
It was all full steam ahead.
I learned from this dude just by even just from just watching him, man. He said he was better than Mike.
I know he did. He thought it.
But you got to understand his drive. It ain't too many dudes that play in the NBA or that's playing ball right now that's like, yo. And that really mean it. He in their heart. Like, that's growing up right now, like, I'm going to be better than LeBron James.
Nah.
And that's what he chased his whole life, was to be just as good or mentioned with Michael Jordan.
Since a teenager.
I remember that was important to him. I always remember saying, I need to get six. I want to be able to sit at the same table with Mike.
His whole frame of mind, this dude had, first of all, my name, forget about the 81. He had 63, and Dallas had 61. In the third quarter.
Cole.
You know how NBA practice is. Word him up. He hit like 10, 15 straight in the practice. You know, they know the play.
He still can't do
nothing. They got an idea. But his focus is crazy.
Coming down the stretch, next up, quick hitters. Gary Trent has been on fire since he's been traded. Dropped 44 on Saturday, 17 for 19 from the field in only 33 minutes. He's averaging nearly 19 points a game since being traded. Thoughts on this young kid?
Well, you know, what stuck with me is what he said the other day, something that Absolutely. We always speak on.
Absolutely.
The feeling of being wanted. You want to work. You want to do your best when you work from somewhere where you want it. You know what I mean? And Toronto wanted him. It's a new breath of life for him. And the way he's playing, he was having those same type of flashes in Portland. But being here, the light is greener. You know what I mean? So I'm happy he's finding a home. And all the success he's doing, you know, the kid balling out, he's showing he belongs in this league.
Oh, I thought you were talking about something else. I was talking about what he spoke on, you know, playing with such a talented team before from a standpoint of having CJ, having Dame, having Melo. You know, he's at the bottom of the list kind of low-key as far as shots and getting attempts. And I think it's a perfect example of some of the young Laker players that got traded away earlier, the Julius Randles, the mm-hmm. Brandon Ingrams, now that are putting up a bunch of points. A lot of people don't understand on the outside looking in, a lot of your success, it depends on your situation. Like you said, he was doing it in flashes in Portland, but they were just so loaded as far as on the offensive end. So he's going to Toronto now, you know, where he's one of the guys getting a lot of attempts, and shit, he's making them. So definitely hats off to this kid playing really well in Toronto. And I think it was a really good trade. You know, both teams were able to benefit immediately from the trades they made. Next up, Memphis Grizzlies, 8-5 of their last 13, but three of those losses came to the Jazz. Valanciunas playing really well at about 19.5 a game. Memphis currently sits in the eighth position. Do you think they'll be able to hang on?
I hope so, man. I'm just excited with the player that Jai's grown into. You know, he's such a leader, and he's been great for the organization and for that team. I just want to see them healthy. You know, Jaren Jackson's still out, and if they could get him back and get some other pieces with this kid, man, this team can really make some noise in the Western Conference. This year, I don't see it happening, you know, with the injuries, but I just love the player he's growing into, and I would love to see him in the playoffs to watch him to see what he could do.
They definitely missed Jaren Jackson, someone who was really, you know, kind of a surprise to a lot of people. Came out the gates playing really well. Versatile stretch four, who's been out for a while. But I agree, Morant is turning into a special player. So will they hang on to the eighth? They're definitely probably going to be in a play-in scenario. I don't know if they're going to be able to hold on to it. But, you know, a healthy team with maybe a few more moves in these next 2 years is going to be, Memphis is going to have great basketball back in their city again. Last but not least, unfortunately, Golden State Warriors first round pick, James Wiseman, tore his meniscus, and most likely is out for the remainder of the season. Jack, how you feel like his rookie season went?
It was going pretty well, you know, barring injury. I mean, he was banged up a lot this year. He has to get stronger. He has to understand how physical this NBA is. He missed his whole freshman year in college. So he missed a lot of basketball. So he has to get stronger. Now he sees what the NBA is like. But from what I've seen from him, he's going to be a great pro. He's going to help that team a lot.
Yeah, I really like this kid. I would say his rookie year was a success. He was throwing it. First, they took their time putting him in. Then he was throwing into the fire and played well. And I watch Golden State a lot. He's someone that they need. You know, obviously, he's going to continue to develop his offensive game. But he's long. He protects the basket. He's a rim runner. He's a lob catcher. He can step out and hit the 15-footer. I'm sure within the next 2 years, he's going to be shooting threes. So this was a great pickup for their team. And he's going to be that because you got to think they've never really had that center in any of their runs because their teams have been so guard-focused. But I definitely think he's the perfect type of big man to play in that system with Steph and Clay and Dre and the rest of the group. So obviously disappointed. But one thing I'll say is if you're going to tear a ligament in your knee, the meniscus is the one you want to tear. You don't ever want to tear nothing, but the meniscus is the least likely that's going to, you know, give you long-term effects from tearing that. So I'm sure he'll make 100% recovery, and I'm looking for a big second year out of this kid. Closing thoughts. Jack and I want to thank everybody for all their support. You guys have made All the Smoke an award-winning podcast through your support. We appreciate that. Obviously, following us to What's Burning as we continue to try to give you guys more, continue to try to grow this more than just a podcast. Man, thank you to our guests, past and present, and our current ones. We got a sick list of guests coming up soon for you guys. We got Jeannie Buss, Shaq, Ice Cube, Rachel Nichols, Gilbert Arenas, and the one and only Baron himself, Davis.
Diddy.
But we have a favor. We need some help from you guys. You know, Jack and I are big cannabis advocates, consumers, and businessmen. We want to get our following up to 420 by 420. So currently we're sitting at 395,000 followers for our All the Smoke page. We want to get it to 420, man. So we need your guys' help. And make sure you stay tuned for what we have in tune for you guys on 420. Again, man, thank everybody for your support moving forward. We want to continue to make this the best podcast, but more than a podcast in the game. So help us get to that 420, man. Jack, what you want to say to our fans?
Smoke, smoke on, and follow All the Smoke IG page.
Absolutely. And I think we need to do like little individual videos too, Jack, for real. I think if we both made a post saying, hey, you know, shit, we're only 25,000 from 420, we might be able to get that shit in a couple days.
We can do it. Let's do it.
Oh, before I forget, make sure you follow the Barnes Boys podcast too. I got to plug my babies. So episode 3, you can find them at the Barnes Boys podcast on Instagram, Instagram TV, and YouTube.
It's the twins.
Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of What's Burning. You can catch us every Monday on Showtime Basketball YouTube.
And follow us on Twitter @ Show Basketball. Peace.
We'll see y'all next week.